to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Well, this is it. This is the last Sunday of the decade. Sorry to drop that bomb on you, if you haven't really thought about it. The last Sunday of a decade. Wow. In three sleeps time, we step into a brand new decade. I just want you to go there for a few moments. Just think about the next decade. Just want you to think about the possibilities. Think about your hopes. Think about your dreams. What do you want to see? What do you want to see happen in the next decade? What are some milestones that you are likely to see or hope to achieve? Maybe it's an age milestone that you'll be heading into in the next decade. Maybe you'll be turning 18 or 21 or a 30s or 40s or older than that. I'll be heading into my fifth decade. I'll be turning 50 next decade. Maybe it's around fostering family and friendships. Maybe a milestone for you is to get married next decade. Maybe it's a significant milestone of marriage for you in the next decade. Karen and I will be celebrating 20 years of marriage at some point next decade. Maybe it's around children. Maybe you want to have kids in the next decade. Or maybe your kids who you already have and you will keep. Maybe that's a milestone, you'll keep them. Maybe you'll see something significant take place for them. They'll graduate high school, they'll graduate from university. Maybe they'll get their license, you'll teach them how to drive. Maybe you'll walk your daughter down the aisle. Incredible, incredible milestones that may take place. Maybe it's around study, maybe you're going to graduate, maybe you're going to finish that course of study that you've been working on for many years. Maybe it's around career or your work. Maybe you're going to start a career. Maybe you're going to change careers. Maybe you're going to get a promotion. Maybe you're going to finish that major project in your work that you've been working on. Next decade, I'll celebrate 20 years on staff here at Hepburn Heights, which is incredible that you would keep me on for that long. Maybe it's around travel. Maybe you've got that desired destination that you've always wanted to visit. Maybe it's Jigalong, I don't know. Maybe you've always wanted to go there and you're going to save up enough money to get to that place. Maybe it's a continent. Maybe you want to visit every continent in the next decade. Maybe it's around achievements. Maybe growing as an influencer. Maybe there's a competition that you want to be a part of and be in and achieve. Maybe it's writing that book that you've had in your heart. Maybe it's that course of study. Maybe it's starting that business. Maybe it's a physical challenge. I'm hoping to run a marathon next decade. Next year, actually. I'll get it done early in the decade. Hopefully. Maybe it's around finances. Maybe next decade you're thinking about some milestones in your financial world, to buy a house, to pay off your mortgage, to pay off that debt, to save, to invest, to maybe be generous and give an amount of money that you've never given before. What about your Christian walk? Maybe next decade's the decade you get water baptized, or you read the whole Bible in a year because you got the Bible. The year Bible. Maybe it's the year, the decade you go to Alpha, or you bring a friend to Alpha, or you see a friend or family member one to Christ. Maybe it's the decade that gift that is in you is released and stirred up. Maybe it's the decade you step into that leadership calling. Maybe it's the decade that you go deeper in prayer, deeper in God than you've never ever gone before. What about church milestones? Who wants to be a part in the next decade of seeing suburbs around Hepburn Heights reach for Christ and to see 2,000 water baptisms in that tank there? Maybe it's a part of seeing QB get their building. Maybe it's a part of seeing our Mardu communities, every Mardu community in the Pilbara, with a church, a thriving, healthy church led by a healthy leader. Maybe it's launching more locations. Or maybe it's personal, maybe personal milestones. Establishment of that healthy lifestyle that you've been working on for many years. Maybe it's that addiction that you will overcome next decade. Maybe it's that endeavor that you've wanted, you've had great intentions to start, and finally you're going to start and achieve that endeavor next decade. Maybe you're going to see freedom in that area of life that you've been hoping for many years. Next decade is the decade for freedom to come. Now is the time to dream. Let's not wait till January. Let's not wait till we get into a new year, a new decade. Now is the time. I believe now is a really pivotal time. It's a threshold moment for us as we look back on a decade and we head into a brand new decade. It's a time to look forward and to see the possibilities. And with God by our side, the possibilities are endless. And there are two really vital elements necessary as we launch into a brand new decade. First of all, that there's a sense of purpose and a sense of intent in us, that we know where we want to go and we're taking those steps, that there's momentum built as we lock into where God has called us to go and we go. We're not haphazardly wandering into a brand new decade, but we're following clear pathway forward. That's the first element. The second element is that we're doing it with Jesus. Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our King, our God. He's the one who shows the way. He's the one who gives us the strength. He's the one who helps us to overcome. With Him, we can do it. And some of us here, we naturally have this passion and this sense of purpose, and we've kind of known what we want to do. You know, like those people that at when you go to primary school and you're like three, you know, you're 5 years old, and you're like, what do you want to do? And they're like, I've always wanted to be an astronaut. You're like, how do you know what you want to do at the age of five? Are you serious? I never knew what I wanted to do at that age. But some people, they're locked in from an early age. Kids, are you like that? Do you know what you want to do when you grow up? No? Yes, mixed results. For those of us who naturally have that sense of passion and purpose in our hearts, this series that over the next three weeks that we're going to be on, this is about aligning, realigning that sense of purpose in us with Jesus, allowing Jesus to continue to lead the way. Some of us here don't have any clarity going forward. We don't have that burning sense of purpose in us. This series is about discovering or rediscovering that God burden. Why have you been put on that planet, on the planet? Discovering that and then launching into it with all of our heart. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to spend some time in the Gospel of Luke. And specifically Luke chapter 9. We're going to see what Jesus was helping his disciples step into, step over, and to achieve with a sense of purpose in this chapter. And I believe this is going to help us as we head into a brand new decade. And I read this Gospel of Luke on my last annual leave in October. I don't normally have Bible reading goals in my annual leave. It's a bit more haphazard, but I just felt to read the Gospel of Luke, and I was reading Luke, and this chapter 9, just went like, it was like a punch to the face. It was like, bang, you got to stay here and you got to preach out of it. And so I really believe that God has been brewing this word in me for a few months, and it's going to bear fruit. And so let's begin. You excited? Let's begin this morning, Luke chapter 9, verse 1. I should have got kids to come up and read the Bible. That would have been cool. Maybe next week. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. Take nothing. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. I never go anywhere without an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Just as Jesus sent his disciples out, Jesus is sending you and I out into this brand new decade. Jesus is sending you, sending us into this decade. The disciples were called to come to Jesus together. They responded to that call of coming near to him. In their hearts as disciples, there was a willingness not only to come to Jesus, but to be sent by Jesus. A lot of that had to do with their trust in the faithfulness of their sender. Jesus had purpose in his sending of them, and so they trusted him. And when we think of something that is sent, think of something that is sent, something that you send. Maybe it's a letter. Do people send letters anymore still? Some people. Maybe it's a text message, an emoji, an email. When we send these things, there's generally intent behind it, right? There's generally a sense of purpose. They're not sent by accident or without thought. They're sent to the right people. Most of the time. Sometimes when it comes to text messages or emojis, especially kissy emojis, although there's good intentions, although we have purpose, the right purpose in sending them, the sender may send it to the wrong person. The delivery is wrong. We've all done that. Hands up if you've sent a text message to the wrong person. Oh man, that's a lot of people. A couple of weeks ago, I sent a text message to what I thought was Karen. Guys, stop. I know where you're going. Just to say, what are we having for dinner? Like, what do you want me to pick up for dinner? And we were having takeaway. And so, what do you want me to pick up for dinner? And who's the last person that you should send a text message about what you're feeding your children? Your mother. It went to my mother. She wasn't amused. She came over and cooked 5 meals. Strutner. You send it to the wrong person. Do you want me to show you a couple of really bad examples? Let's have a look at, I've been scouring the internet for months. Let's have a look at one of these examples of the wrong text message. Mum wants you to call her. Who is this? Andrea. Wrong number, and you got me into an unnecessary 30-minute conversation with my mother, so thank you for that. That is awesome. Oh, that was so funny. I think that was from Pastor Jace. No, let's move on. Let's go to the next one. Hey, mate, my name's Mario. Nice name. Just wanted to know if I could come and take a look at the car you had for sale. It's here. After 5 p.m. is good for me. When are you available? Cheers. I should be available after 6 tomorrow. Good night, beautiful. Cannot wait to have you in my arms. Love and miss you heaps. Look, man, I'm just interested in the car. We've all done it. Steve Johor, you've done that before. You've sent a lovey kissy message to someone thinking it was Kath. Okay, last one. Is there a third one? I don't know. It's done. Excellent. You will receive payment via bank transfer once you bring me her head as proof. Oh, man. They were seriously the only three that I could show. Do not go down that rabbit, Warren. I'm not getting that hour back in my life. Now, unlike these examples, we can be confident that Jesus, the sender, he's faithful, he's true, he knows what he's doing. Jesus doesn't make these kind of mistakes. He not only has the right purpose and intent, but his sending is perfect. He sends the right people, you and I, to the right place for the right people at the right time. And although we can't say that we're the perfect package, we can be confident that you and I are endorsed by heaven. Jesus, who called the disciples together and then sent them, he also calls you and I together and sends us. He is sending you and I into our homes. It starts in our homes. He's sending you and I into our relationships, into our workplaces, into our places of study, our neighborhoods, our gyms, our sporting teams, our four-wheel drive clubs, our shopping centers. He is sending us into these places this decade. We don't just rock up to these places. We're not just in these situations by chance. The King of heaven and earth is sending you and I into those places this coming decade. And if Jesus is sending you and I, we can be certain that he is provisioning us. Jesus is giving us everything we need. Everything we need. Jesus calls the disciples to come together before sending them. Why? To give them a little pep talk? No. To give them power and authority. Jesus calls you and I to him to give us power and authority. Not our power, not our authority, not the authority of our name, but the power and the authority of the name that is above every other name. The name of Jesus. He gives us the power and authority to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, to right the wrongs. Declare the kingdom of God. Proclaim the kingdom of God. To display, to demonstrate the inauguration of a new way of living. And it's been talked about in this Bible dictionary here. It says Jesus' teaching about the kingdom reiterate many of the same ideas present in early Jewish thought. However, what is unique to Jesus' teaching is the claim that the kingdom in some sense had actually arrived. The kingdom of God had arrived, not in a nice philosophy. It had arrived in a person, the person of Jesus. The kingdom of God had touched down on planet Earth and was taking root everywhere that Jesus stepped. The whole of God's redeeming activity in the world was on the move in Christ. And we get a glimpse of what impact this kingdom would have on the planet in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. He went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The kingdom of God in the person of Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, as a Christian, one who carries Christ's name, as people who carry his presence, just like the disciples, we have a part to play. 2 Corinthians 5:16. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You and I have a part to play. The kingdom of God that Jesus inaugurated, it continues through you and I. Every step we take, every word we speak. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ, God were making his appeal through us." That Jesus has gone before us. He's inaugurated the way. He's completed the work that would usher in the kingdom. And now you and I are charged with following in his footsteps as his representatives. This is crazy. It's believed that when Jesus sent the disciples out, he calls them together, he gives them power and authority, and then he sends them out. When he sends them out, he sends them not into towns that are brand new, that Jesus has never been before, but commentators say that he actually sends them out into towns that Jesus has already been. They were being sent to return upon a path that Jesus had already tread, a land, hearts that he had already sown into. Their role was to reap. Their role was to reap the harvest. Not to begin what Jesus would continue, but to continue what Jesus had already begun. And we might feel like heading into this brand new decade, we're not ready. We're seemingly walking into the unknown. It is unknown to us. But you know what? What is unknown to us is known to our Savior. It's known to Jesus. Jesus has seen this coming decade. He has orchestrated this coming decade. He has been there. And as Jesus sends us into this decade, we go with his power, with his authority to declare, to demonstrate that sin, you are defeated. That death, you are defeated. That sickness and darkness and hatred and the enemy, you are defeated in the name of Jesus. And so we're sent into our homes and our neighborhoods. We're sent into our workplaces and places of study, armed with resurrection power, armed with light, armed with love, armed with life, to expose, to push back, to eliminate the lies, the chains, the darkness that this world is bound by. Jesus is sending us into this decade with his power, with his authority, to bring his kingdom wherever we go. Where can we bring a heavenly sense of patience in places where "I want it now" reigns? Where can we bring peace in places where anxiety and worry are present? Where can we bring encouragement where in the past we've tried to pull down? Where can we bring prayer where we've generally just given advice? Where can we show love to people who have in the past been unlovable to us? Where can we bring generosity in places where selfishness has ruled? Where can we bring compassion in places where judgment simmers? This is why you and I are being sent into this decade. Now, there are a couple of big obstacles to this kingdom becoming a reality in and through us next decade. And Jesus actually mentions them in the scripture that I read in Luke 9. Number one is the pull of the material. The thought that we need more than the power and the authority of Jesus for this decade to be fruitful. We need more comfort. We need more stuff. We need certainty. We need control. Jesus told his disciples, "Take nothing." He's saying, "My power and my authority, it's enough. Trust me. Rely on me. I'll provide for you." The pull of the material, that messes with me. I want to be in control. I want to be prepared. I'm a classic over-caterer. We always have leftovers. I'm a classic overpacker. Whenever we go on holidays or away, I pack way too much. My suitcase is always double the weight of Karen's. But I'm onto something here, because you know what? One of the worst things about coming back from holidays is having to wash all your dirty clothes. Well, I come back from holidays and most of my clothes are still clean in the suitcase, so I just put them away. Problem solved. The second obstacle, the pull of the material. The second obstacle is the pull of the like, the pull of the thumbs up. Man, how's the outrage from social media influencers when different platforms like Instagram and Facebook change the like button options? Goodness me. We can be so preoccupied with people's acceptance, with being liked. Jesus told his disciples that if they're not welcomed, dust off your feet and move on. He didn't say throw a tanty, try and talk them around, stick around and force them to like you. He knew the tendency of the human heart to form so much of our identity around what other people say. We see it in society today so often. People losing their marbles over other people not agreeing with them. That essentially just leads to a militant enforcing of agreement. Let's not be like that. Let's not, as the people of God, let's not be like that. Let's love people, but when we're not welcome, let's move on. Because there are more people that need the kingdom of God. There's more people waiting. Being liked is not as important as our friends and families and community's eternity. You and I have the acceptance and the love of God. That's enough. It should be enough. It doesn't mean that we give up on people. I'm not saying that. Jesus wasn't saying that. We love people. We pray for people. But we aren't knocked off our purpose, knocked off where God wants us to go when someone doesn't agree with us or like us or the message that we bring. Let's reconcile, you and I, as the people of God, as we head into a new decade, that the power and the authority of Jesus that we received when we called upon his name and were saved, when we receive through the power of the Holy Spirit in our times of prayer and as we come together as a church, let that be enough for us. His power and his authority is enough. It's enough. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then they took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we're in a remote place here." And he replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and lest we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there, plus women and children. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Jesus is sending you and I into this brand new decade. Jesus is also calling you and I to feed others this decade. This is crazily the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. And it reminds us that this constant pull of the material that I talked about earlier, this constant pull of the material will keep coming back even after a word from Jesus. This is not long after the disciples had been sent out with nothing. And they'd come back rejoicing because of all the incredible things that God had been doing. But they were consumed with material things again. The most amazing part of this account is that the miracle began with Jesus saying to the disciples, "You feed them." You and I are part of someone else's miracle. The miracle was activated not by something out of nothing, out of thin air, but it was activated through the action of the disciples looking for food and the substance of the fish and bread. Now, it's only the Gospel of John who records that the fish and bread came from a young boy who actually offered his lunch. I wonder how many kids here would be happy to share their lunch if asked for it. Kids, Would you be happy to share your fish and your bread? Would you be happy to share your lunch if it was chocolate? Yeah? Still? Hands are down. Hands are down. My kids are generally pretty good at sharing. I think about this boy. Yeah, no worries. I got lunch. No one else is really pre-planned. I must have been the dad because I was an over-caterer. But no worries. I'll share my lunch. Our kids are pretty good at sharing. Aren't you, Harry? Yeah? No? You're nodding your head. Yeah? And Lucy, our three-year-old, she's actually a little bit militant about sharing. She's learning how to share her own things, and then she enforces that the other two kids share as well. And so Beth's birthday was last month, and she had all these new toys and new things. And one day we find Lucy just in Beth's room playing with all her stuff. And Beth's like, "You can't touch that stuff. That's my stuff." And Lucy's like, "Yeah, but you have to share. You've got to share, Beth." I'm like, "Lucy, it kind of doesn't work like that." When Jesus said, "You feed them." When Jesus said, "You feed them." When there was a need and people went to Jesus and he turned it around and he said, "You feed them." He's essentially saying, what is in your hand? What is within your grasp? What can you use that can be part of someone else's miracle? That's the starting point. The fish and bread, they're brought to Jesus, surrendered to him. And Jesus did what is in his very nature to do. He blessed it and he brought abundant multiplication. All ate, all were satisfied, and there were leftovers. That's the Savior I serve. That's the God I love. He's not the God of the pittance and of the just enough. He is the God of more than enough. He is the God of abundance. And so let's give what we have. What is in your hands? What gift, what talent is within your grasp? Let's take it and bring it to Jesus. Let's surrender it to him. Because the call for us is not just to be blessed. It's not to live this nice, blessed life. It's to be blessed, to be a blessing. To be a blessing for others, to bring the kingdom power and authority wherever we go. We are blessed to be a blessing. Do you know that what comes really naturally to you or I might be so far out of reach of someone else? Do you know there's great need maybe in the person sitting next to you that you might have the answer for? You might have the key to unlock? Jesus is calling you and I to feed others this decade. To have eyes not just focused on ourselves, but eyes that look to others. Feed others with what is in our hand. He will multiply it. If we have that gift of generosity, like Sim Tan here, who's incredibly generous all the time. We love you, Sim. Let's be generous. If we have that gift of encouragement, let's move past those good intentions and actually encourage like Lynn Allen or Dawn Lee, who are incredible encouragers. If we're good with money, anyone good with money here? Help someone with their budget. If we're good with our hands and we can use them to benefit others. Duncan Camilleri is incredible with his hands. Such a blessing from a practical sense. If we have a beautiful home and we love hosting people like a Rob and Grace Spitzer, let's think about hosting. Think about having people over. Think about maybe hosting a connect group or hosting a street party. If compassion is our thing, let's look for ways to help those who are doing it tough. If leadership is our thing, if we're just super friendly, why don't we jump on a host team here at church or ushering team? If we have a gift to pray, like the brilliant Anne Starring who prays and commits to praying for our family, let's commit to praying for others in our world. Each one of us has something in our hands. Each one of us has something to offer. Some of us might look at the pastors and go, "You're loaded up. You've got them all. You've got all the gifts. You can do it." Do you know what my greatest gift is? I show up. Seriously, that is my greatest gift. Every opportunity that has come my way, every time God has blessed me, it has been because I've just rocked up. That isn't a great gift that only I can do. You have got amazing gifts. You are incredibly talented. You have wonderful things that God has called you to help others benefit from. And as we bring those things to Jesus, see, there's this common thread through the 2 points today. The disciples came to Jesus. They brought the loaves and the bread to Jesus. There's a power in the proximity of our Savior. As we bring it to Jesus, what is in our hands, what is in our grasp, as we allow Him to bless it and to multiply it, we will see significant shift take place, not only in our worlds, but in the lives of those around us, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces. We are being sent into this decade to feed others. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. We make a decision this morning, Jesus, on the last Sunday of 2019, the last Sunday of a decade. We make a decision, God, to leave what has been here. We refuse to take those things, Lord God, that have been from this decade into a new decade. We draw a line in the sand. We say it stops today. And God, let faith and confidence rise in us this morning. As we look to a brand new decade, that we would determine in our hearts, God, that we're not taking one step into a brand new decade without being with you. Jesus, you are our source. You are our leader. You are our God. And we make a decision right now. Why don't you make that decision in your heart? We make a decision right now that next decade we are going to be with you. We are choosing to walk with you. Not bringing you along, dragging you along into the things that we want to do. But God, we make a decision to surrender, to submit this next decade to you. And we want to be where you are. So God, come so near right now. Come so close. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with anticipation, with expectation. Fill us with life and love. Let it flow in our hearts, God. God, I pray that you'll begin to give us visions, Lord. Begin to give us dreams again. Dreams, Lord, to be picked up, God, that we might have dropped in the past. God, visions and dreams for a whole new decade that you are calling us to step into. God, I pray that we would be willing to be sent by you into a new decade. And we would be willing to use what is in our hands to help those around us. We declare that you are sending us into a new decade. We declare that you are calling us to feed others this decade. And we make a commitment afresh to you today that we are your people. We are your ambassadors. We are the representatives of the kingdom of heaven on this planet. And we will play our part. And so we thank you for your grace, for your enabling, coming right now. There's a grace coming upon you for a new decade. Receive that grace. There's an exchange taking place. I see exchanging of garments. Garments of the old decade. I see God putting a new decade garment upon you with new grace, with new enabling, with a power and authority that you've never walked in before. Receive that today. Receive that today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.